The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday. It is already the 5th of September, 2017. And I had every intention of doing a show yesterday, and nobody else showed up to do a show. Mike Rivera took off, Bill Deagle took off, and I would have had Mikey here, aside from some outside of office hurdles he had to jump over to get here. He would have had to have driven up in from Austin and then dealt with all the traffic, which is, we're starting to look like L.A. around here, and I ain't talking lower Alabama at any rate. So we're live today, obviously. And we had somebody that was scheduled for yesterday that didn't show up yesterday, but we got him today. Who might that be?
I haven't got a clue. But I was going to show up yesterday.
You were, and you didn't believe I was going to call you.
You told me right then as you picked up the phone, I was just going to call you.
Yeah, and what did you say?
I heard that before.
Yeah, checks in the mail, right? yeah. Well, and also have your buddy out there that's abandoning you, and he's going to put his blinders on as he goes through Texas, and he's going to go down to God's waiting room. That's what I call that big sandbar to the southeast. Some people call it Florida. Is he here?
I guess that's my time to chime in, huh? Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. 2, 3, 4, 8.
I am here.
Good on the uptake. Well, gentlemen, I wanted to cover this yesterday, but since y'all are here today, you know, there was something that I am watching more and more attitude by the boys in blue that they're really getting aggravated because you're impeding their investigation or you're interfering with law enforcement. Now, that's the new one nowadays. Now, whether you are or you aren't, it doesn't matter because that's all they have to do is make that claim. You know, it's kind of like 3-4 cops wrestling a person in the ground, punching him, beating him, putting their, you know, their knee in the back of their head and trying to crush their little skull like a grape. And they'll keep saying this, stop resisting. Stop resisting. Of course, even if this is being recorded by a camera, say in a police car, or maybe one of the guys even has a camera, one of those vest cams on, it's usually blocked, and all you hear are the cops saying, stop resisting, and you can hear muffled guys' faces buried in the cement, teeth been broken out, going, I'm not resisting, stop, I'm not resisting, but it doesn't matter. Nowadays, these guys, they want stuff, and they want it now. Forget that it may not be right, but they're going to do it right now anyhow. And what I'm referring to, where is that video at, Mike? I want to play this for the listeners. Now, do you have it? It might have disappeared already. I'll tell you what, do me a favor and go up in the archive and pull that out for me. because, I'm sorry? Yeah, you know, the woman that was standing there in the greens in the emergency room, and she's getting harassed by Mr. I want this done right now. And what is really at issue here is there was a gentleman that they brought in. He was not awake. He was unconscious. There were no warrants for this guy's arrest. They brought him in, and they suspected he was drunk. So they wanted to draw his blood. So this detective is telling this nurse that's on duty. And I'm assuming by the look of that video, Steve, that was probably the triage nurse.
Actually, she was the head nurse. She's actually the nurse that runs the whole show for that unit. She was the top dog.
All right, there it is right there. Go ahead. Why won't Steve be able to hear it?
I've heard it. Okay. I know it by heart.
All right, go ahead and play it. This is Salt Lake City that actually put this out. This puppy has gone viral.
Yeah, they're putting on speakers. So I have the, it says obtaining blood samples for police enforcement from patients suspected to be under the influence. Okay? This is something that you guys agreed to with this hospital. The three things that allow us to do that are if you have an electronic warrant, patient consent, or patient under arrest. And neither of those things, the patient can't consent. He's told me repeatedly that he doesn't have a warrant and the patient is not under arrest. So I'm just trying to do the, what I'm supposed to do. That's all. So.
Okay, so I take it without those in place, I'm not going to get blood. Is that, am I fair to surmise that?
Alex, you're not ready.
Okay. I don't know. I have no idea why he's blaming me. I'm just representing.
Why are you blaming the messenger?
She's the one that has told me no.
Yeah, but sir, you're making a huge mistake right now. Okay. Like you're making a huge mistake because you're threatening a nurse.
Okay. No, we're done. We're done. You're under arrest. We're going.
We're done. It was unnecessary, all right. Now, here's the head nurse. And I don't have the story in front of me, gentlemen. What hospital was that? University Hospital?
Yeah, it was University of Utah Hospital in Salt Lake City.
Now, oh, this guy, this detective. And again, I don't have the stories, so Steve, go ahead, color this in.
Well, what you have here is the charge nurse or the head nurse of that unit. It's a burn unit. And I guess the patient in question was involved in a traffic accident that the semi evidently rolled over. It was a bad fire, so he's in a burn unit. And she's simply stating the policy that the law enforcement actually had agreed to, and that in order to draw a blood sample, you either had to have consent from the patient, in which he was unconscious, so there's no consent there, or he'd have to be under arrest or have a warrant been issued for his arrest or have a court order saying that authorization by a judge is standing that they could take the blood sample. She was simply standing up for the protocol and the agreed upon policy of that hospital and law enforcement. This is clearly, to me personally, I think this is clearly an officer that doesn't like being told no. And Ron and I talked about this, and I'm going to let Ron go into a little more detail of some abnormalities I saw in this case whatsoever, that we as citizens have rights, but I'll let Ron discuss, go a little bit into what could have been done, solutions to stop this in its tracks before it got out of hand and the manhandling of this nurse. And Ron can discuss that a little bit as far as the citizen's arrest. But I was troubled by, I've seen this happen before where officers throw their weight around and it's the badge itself, and they are the almighty, and you don't say no to them. And this officer should not be on the streets. I'm willing to
streets.
Bet this is,
guy, in my estimation, he should be in that little cage he was trying to throw her in.
Yeah, yeah. Abuse of power. Definitely abuse of power. He was told he knows the rules. This guy knows the rules. He's been an investigator for a while. He knows the rules. He didn't like it. Had a bad day or whatever, but he didn't like being told no. She did everything right by the book. But I was kind of concerned and troubled by the fact that you have in that ER. Now, ER usually has a couple officers there on duty, and that's their regular beat. That's their shift. And nurses and the law enforcement in the ER always get along really well. Actually, there's nurses that go after the law enforcement. We call them badge bunnies. And so usually the rapport between
nurses... Wait a minute. Back up. Badge bunnies?
Yeah, the police officers and the female nurses, they have a little thing going on once in a while there. It's a little romance thing going on in the ER. We call them badge bunnies, just kidding around.
Okay.
But this wasn't a regular officer of the ER. This was an investigator who came in and do his job, and he needed a blood sample. Well, he very well knows the rules that were adhered to by the hospital protocol and law enforcement agreed upon. And he didn't like being told no. I could sense that. And she did everything right. What I was troubled by was that you had at least two that I could see in the video, two security personnel in the ER. There's usually more than that in there because of the gang activity and problems. And they stood by and did totally nothing.
Didn't say a word.
No, what they should have done is secured the area and said, you're not taking her anywhere. We're calling for administration. You call for your supervisor. That thing was carried way too far. And like I said, there are people in positions, and those security guys evidently don't know quite what their job is. It reminds me of that commercial where the bank security guard, and he's there.
Yeah.
He's basically there to say, well, a robbery's happening, but I'm just here, a monitor.
Yeah, I'm a monitor. I'm just here to tell you you're getting robbed. I'm not here to do a damn thing about it. I'm just going to make the stupidly obvious statement, you're being robbed. Well, dude, I already know that.
Yeah, that's kind of why I saw that. They were worthless. They could have done a lot of things. But once he got her in custody and, you know, kind of manhandled her and put her arm on her back and cuffed her and threw her in the car, you know, as the personnel of the hospital right then, I would have jumped right on and stopped that before it ever happened, but actually stepped in front of the car. If they had enough staff, they could have just gone out in the parking lot, stood in front of this guy's car. He wouldn't have gone anywhere. And then call for his supervisor and stop this in a nutshell. But, Ron, go ahead and talk about, if you don't mind, you and I talked about today earlier about the citizen's arrest. It's something we have in our capacity, and we don't use it, and it should have been used.
Yeah, well, one has to, first of all, one has to identify the act that the officer committed. In law, there's misdemeanors and felonies. And I would ask either of you, in your opinion, do you think the officer committed either a misdemeanor or a felony? A misdemeanor is a nonviolent crime, and a felony is a violent crime.
I would, laying on of hands, if I even touch a police officer, I'm charged with felonious assault. He was arm twisting and cuffing and shoving around.
Did he have jurisdiction over her?
Apparently he thought so, but looking at the rules and the regs that everybody understood, the answer to that question would be no.
No, because what evidence did he lack? Did he have a warrant that specifically named her to take the blood?
No, he did not.
No, he did not. So he had no court authority. He had no electronic authority. Okay, now let's go to a citizen's arrest. In a misdemeanor, you're allowed to detain someone that's committed a crime in your presence. In a felony, you have the right to use deadly force to restrain someone, if need be. Now, in this case, there were people standing by. There were security guards and things of that nature. I think people of that nature in the area, and no one did a thing. Yet, every one of them was very powerful. In your opinion, John, do you think a citizen has a right or is... imbued with rights to arrest even a police officer, a peace officer.
You're asking me, in this world today?
Yes.
After they sent 40 cops to gun you down, they'd figure it out later.
Yeah. But you do have that right now. I'll quote you one case in California. It's 89 Cal Appellate, page 6. And basically what it says, and I'll read it from the start, the question often arises among peace officers or police officers, can one arrested private person arrest another? There is nothing under California statute to indicate that the private person loses his privilege to arrest because he himself is under arrest. From the language of used in Lorenz versus Hunt, and I quoted that, it appears that a private person who is under arrest may arrest another. The court also said in this opinion that a private person may arrest a peace officer. Well, there it is right there. Did those people standing by that did nothing to protect the rights of another, and this is one of our duties that we just don't understand. We have a specific duty to protect the rights of others, well, and they have that same duties in reverse.
In a sterile situation as we're describing right now, yeah, but in the real world, could you imagine somebody laying hands on this guy and going, okay, somebody give me their cuffs, you're under arrest. You know, Ron, it's the same thing. I think the Supreme Court has ruled on this one, that when you have mass cops show up at your house and you feel that your life is in danger. Now, from their perspective and their point of view, they got to capture this guy, you know, for no matter what the reason, whether there's a warrant, whether you took off from a cop, your license was expired or revoked and you had a burned out ticket and you decided to run to your house for whatever the reason. The United States Supreme Court has said that if a person is in fear for their life, no matter if they're badged, whether they're claiming authority, that you have the right to protect yourself up to and including start popping some of these cops that are the imminent threat. Now, in the real world, you know what's going to happen at this point. Try shooting a cop. I don't give a damn if he's on your property or not. I don't care if he's practicing a no-knock search warrant or the new one, gentlemen, that they're doing. They're calling knock and talk. If you open up that door, they consider it a welcome invitation to waltz right into your house, continue the conversation. Now they're in your house without warrant. And then from that moment on, you're playing in their realm. You're no longer a private citizen on private property. You're to be feasted on for whatever damn reason they can come up with.
Yeah. However, though, this was a more controlled situation. There are more standard bys appearing and viewing this, and no one did anything. If, let's say, three people came over and attacked that officer, took his handcuffs and handcuffed him, and then applied a citizen's arrest and called another officer to arrest that guy, it would have been all done by the book.
Yeah,
I wouldn't suggest that you do it in a group of officers.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you, Ron.
You know, this is one of the instances where most people will take the high road on this. Rather than doing an action like that or provoking an obviously out of control cop that doesn't even understand the law that he's supposed to be representing, there's not too many people that are going to stand up and put their keister at that point on the line. And I understand why. Because threats and intimidations and the millions of stories you've heard out of control cops that they just pop, shoot first and ask questions later. The thing is that the cops are repeatedly told you need to keep yourself safe. Your number one job is to make it home safe tonight, to have dinner with your wife and your kiddies. Your number one job is not to uphold any damn constitution. That's the furthest thing from their mind. They're there as law enforcement, and if they feel, now here's where it gets real muddy. If they feel that their safety is threatened, they can take terminal action. And when I mean terminal action, I mean during a stop or an encounter with a cop, there's called a force continuum. And there's five different stages there. One is, hi, how you doing, with a smile on your face, to the fifth, up to and including unholstering their weapon and blowing a hole through your head. All right, let's leave that right here. We got to take a break. Steve Elkins is with me. Ron McDonald, you guys are baking up there in Northern California. We'll take this break. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com.
This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The cops are being, how should I say, kept on pins and needles. We had the FBI several months ago, and you're all aware of this, that was sending out memorandums of understanding, MOWs, if you will, to police departments and sheriff's department all across this country, warning them that, you know, that these people that challenge you out during routine stops or encounters, that these people could possibly be, and we've identified at least 300,000 of these quote-unquote sovereign citizens. And these sovereign citizens do not want to talk to you. As a matter of fact, by your encounter, your mere fact that you're encountering this person, they're more apt to put a bullet in you than to even have a conversation with you. Now, this is what the FBI has told cops all across this country. Yeah, the FBI, folks, it ain't Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. And if you're a relative newbie as to what law enforcement has morphed into in this country, you better keep listening, because the FBI ain't what you think they are. So, gentlemen, what we have here, is a failure to communicate. You can talk all you want, but these guys are acting as if you're some kind of terrorist. You're somebody that's going to take an action against them, that you'd much rather shoot them than have a conversation. And gentlemen, when the NDAA, remember this passed a couple of years ago, where they could up and disappear you if they categorized you as being a terrorist? There were no lawyers. There wasn't any jail. There wasn't any bond. There wasn't a phone call. There's no attorneys. There's no wife to come down and see you in jail. They could literally up and disappear you off of CONUS, the continental United States, if they so desired, and ship you anywhere in the world. You could end up in Guantanamo Bay, for all that matters, because you've been designated as being a terrorist. Now, I want to remind people of something. Before this whole big thing as the public as some kind of a threat, it used to be that we had laws governing everything. Now, when I'm saying everything, I'm meaning what we used to consider to be a crime. Murder, bank robbery, sneaking in the middle of the night, getting caught in the next door neighbor's wife's bed, and the husband blows your brains out. Things of this nature. There are laws in the books, and there were laws to cover everything that somebody was doing. If they're killing somebody, oh, now it's terrorism. Well, before it used to be murder. Okay, you can spend as much time in jail being a murderer as you would be targeted as being a terrorist. They have built this little conflab of everybody's in immediate danger, and we're what? We're the people that are here to keep you safe. Now, gentlemen, I don't know about you, but anymore, when I see the red and blue light boys, whether I see them in my rearview mirror or I see them in action against a private citizen someplace, I'm not automatically assuming here that that guy is doing his job. He's a revenueer. He's a Keystone Corporate Coffer cop. Job number one, yeah, stay safe. And job number two, make sure that revenue, by statute, keeps flowing into our coffers because, well, that's our job. Okay, I'm done ranting.
Jeez. Ron, you want to go with that one, Ron?
Yeah. You know, in this particular case, because it's more of an isolated situation in a community, we're not talking a terrorist act that someone would be fearful that if they were to act on that officer, that they'd be taken out. Can one imagine that if two people decided to take that officer down and put him under arrest, that would have hit the newspapers, and that would have probably gave other people the same idea when they saw the same thing happening on the streets in their neighborhoods when an officer, for no reason, takes a individual into custody and then beats the literal chaos out of them. So what we're dealing with is the ability to, first of all, understand what our personal rights are at the moment a crime is being committed. That officer is no more than a citizen creating a crime.
Well, but they still got a badge, and they still get that force continuum up to and including turning you into human confetti, my friend. And that's where it gets dicey. Being thrown in jail for no damn good reason at all is one thing. But crossing these madmen, and you don't know if they're on SSRIs or they're flipping out due to the pressures of their job. In other words, folks, when you get in their hands, you're not necessarily safe.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains suntein and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
I don't know who this Brad was that Nurse Werbels was on the phone with, but the person on the phone said, Alex, you're not representing the University Hospital. To which the nurse responds with her voice breaking. She says, I have no idea why he's blaming me. And then she turned to the officer. His name was Detective Payne. And I quickly picked up on that and called him a pain in the ass. But she said, you know, why you, Brad says, ask the detective, why are you blaming the messenger, sir? And then Payne responds, she's the one that has told me no. So Brad, which I'm assuming was on hospital administration somewhere, said that, hey, look, you're making a huge, huge mistake right now because you're threatening a nurse. And at that moment, Payne become fed up with the whole scenario. And he just proclaims, no, we're done. You're under arrest. And that was it.
You know, just let me step in real quick here, John. My guess is the administrator was probably risk management at the hospital, and that's why he was saying, you know, you're making a huge mistake, because risk management is tied in with legal law, medical law, and basically what they do is they assess the risk of a hospital, and they know the law as far as the hospital goes, what's right and what's wrong in protocol. And he was, you know, he was basically saying, you know, you're making a huge mistake. You are threatening a nurse here in our hospital. You can't do that. And you're simply she was abiding by the regulation, the law, and the protocol of that hospital. But something I wanted to ask real quick to Ron, because Ron and I talked about this in some depth the last couple of days, were two terms that were tied in with the whole civil rights, the civil arrest. What's the term? Mine escapes me here. Ron, help me out here. Citizen detains.
Oh, the citizen's arrest.
Citizen's arrest, sorry. Okay. There's two words that you and I talked about, and it's new in my dictionary here. Malfeasance, yep. And insurrection, how those both tie in with the civil arrest. And not only could those personnel in the ER detained that officer, but as you included, they could have disarmed that officer, and they've been very much in the right to do so. You can talk about that, Ron.
Yeah, well, you know, the officer, in my opinion, committed a felony. He basically kidnapped a citizen without jurisdiction. He decided he'd be the court, the enforcing officer, and the legislator over the law. He'll make his own laws at that point. Well, he committed the felony at that point, and that gave everyone there the right to arrest that man by brutal force if need be. And you know, I have a question for John. John, what do you think should have happened in that case?
In that case, well, what I would have done immediately is I would have asked for Mr. Payne's supervisor and saying, you know what, I understand that you're upset, but we need your supervisor down here. We've got to clear this issue up. That's what I would have done. Immediately asked for the supervisor, and apparently she did not do that.
Would that have been before or after the arrest? You would have done that.
That would have been before, obviously, because the guy was being unreasonable. He had met none of the criteria. And by the way, a little bit of backstory on this, just to let you know. And this, the whole story, along with the video clips, are available at republicbroadcasting.org. Go take a look at it. Do me a favor, Mike, repost that in a rotating banner, because there's going to be people looking for it. A little backstory on Mr. Gray here. The person that was unconscious in the hospital was a 143-year-old William Gray. Now, there was earlier an incident, and Mr. Gray was involved in a traffic accident. He was driving a truck. Police were in hot pursuit of a suspect. And evidently, this guy's name was Marco Torres. involved in a high-speed chase, crosses the median, does a head-on into a tractor-trailer. And this is why Mr. Gray is in the hospital in the first place. Burned to a crisp and obviously unconscious. And this jackass wanted to draw blood to see if he was drunk. So, you know, here's compounding mistakes here. Now, unless this person that they were chasing, you know, if you want to talk about putting citizens at risk, and they don't give a damn, if you rabbit on a cop, that's immediately they hit the light bar and the sirens, and man, we're off and running. The adrenaline's pumping. They don't pay attention to speedometers. They just know they have to get their quarry. Well, they were chasing this Toros guy. He went left of the median, did a head-on into Mr. Gray's truck. This is the victim of the police to begin with. And they just kept victimizing people on top of this. Now, there's been an ongoing debate for a lot of years. Some police departments will call off a high-speed chase if it unnecessarily puts other people at risk, which obviously it's going to do. Unless this guy is an axe murderer, or unless you witnessed a violent felony, a lot of police departments are told, you know, make a half-hearted attempt. If the guy changes his mind and pulls over, fine. If not, we'll just get the guy later. In other words, if he's not culpable or, you know, perpetrating a capital crime, let's say. So, you know, it's all fine and dandy. We're very limited in what we can do, what our response is. You know, we've tried being nice. We've tried standing up, maybe getting a little red-faced and spittle all over the place and, challenging these guys. But there's a problem here. There's an attitude, and they need an attitude adjustment, but they're given free rein here. They're being given free rein. Do not let any Joe Schmo out there in public intimidate you, Officer So-and-so. And they've taken this to the nth degree. Let me take some calls here. Is this Katie in Indiana? Hello, Katie.
Hi. Thanks, John, for taking my call. I just wanted to comment about the police officer. As outrageous as his actions were, that was not the worst of it. The worst of it was that there was nobody from the hospital administration that came down to assist the nurse. It sounds like this conversation had been going sour for a long time, and she was on the phone with somebody, but that's not the same as having a guy in a suit, like maybe the president of the university, you know, one of those guys making deep into the six-figure income. Why somebody couldn't just haul their ass down there and stand beside that nurse and give a little authority, because the cop was a bully. He was obviously picking on this nurse, and he had her intimidated, and I understand that. But why there wasn't a half dozen doctors and a half dozen of their executives in suits down there to put that cop in his place, I think that's the worst. That's the worst of this whole situation, is that she was basically thrown out there. They knew what was going on, and nobody from the ivory tower. And if I was that nurse, I would feel massively betrayed by my employer. And frankly, I don't know how she could consider a career there. It seems like the betrayal is just so deep that I don't know how she could go to work there anymore.
Well, and I understand those sentiments. By the way, we got to give kudos here to the Salt Lake Tribune, because they're the ones that put this online on YouTube. This thing has gone viral, and it's circled the earth at least three times. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of hits this has gotten. But this is the kind of thing that has to take place to make example of these cretins that have the badges and the guns and think they can do any damn thing they want to. They're asking, always asking for cooperation of the citizenry. When do we get the cooperation of the police to behave themselves?
Yeah, I know, and that is maybe the silver lining of all this, that there will be a lot of people that wake up and say, boy, they really are like some people say they are. But as far as an employer relationship, I would think that nurse would be feeling burned right now, that she was out there trying to make nice with this cop and explain what he already knew. And nobody came down from upstairs. They were talking with somebody on the phone, but they didn't come down. I mean, they stuffed this gal in the police car, and still nobody came down from upstairs to get her out of this situation.
You know, I'm obviously not this nurse in this hospital. She seems to be in an age range of maybe 40, 45, probably a lot of years as a nurse. And I'd be planning my retirement right now. I wouldn't want to go back to work at this university hospital. Let me finish here. I wouldn't want to go back to work at this hospital because obviously my employer's not going to protect me. And I would go after this police department out in Salt Lake City. I'd be setting up a nice lawsuit, and I would take that money and start a foundation. Make sure that I had enough money to live on. But I'd start a foundation to help and assist other people that this kind of stuff has happened to. This is what I keep saying, guys, and for all that's listening right now. This is what is necessary for the citizenry to do to stop this kind of conduct, to stop these police. We're not saying we're not anarchists. We're not saying we don't believe in the law. We're not saying any of this. But first off, let's have officers that put a uniform on that actually pay attention to the oath that they took to protect and defend the Constitution. That's not meaning that they're going to protect and defend a piece of paper, that they are going to follow the Constitution and the law that it represents. Now they have a quandary here, guys, because statutorily, how many of these damn things, these policies and these statutes that these cops follow that are blatantly on their face unconstitutional to begin with, Ron?
Oh, Jesus. Unless it has an actual injury, everything else is unconstitutional. Does that name most of them?
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. Well, Katie, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Okay, and I've got one more thing. I just wanted to make the point that this cop who showed up at the hospital, it was not his police department that had conducted the chase that resulted in the accident. He was actually an errand boy for another police department whose jurisdiction this happened in, but of course the victim was transported here. So the county where the accident occurred, evidently they called and wanted this guy to go get a blood sample. And I don't know, and
for what reason, being a victim of a high speed police chase, and their quarry went across the road and did a head on into my truck. I am the victim.
Yeah.
I'm unconscious. Yeah. I've got third degree burns, and this guy is going to play errand boy to go pick up an illegal blood sample from somebody that did not give consent. These guys,
yes,
and this, thank you, Katie, I appreciate your call. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what I keep encouraging people to do. You've got to start standing up. You've got to start pushing back. I'm not saying get out of Louisville Slugger and take it to Detective Payne's head, but the exposure. Hopefully this does this guy out of a job. He's got no right wearing a badge representing anything. Because he sure as hell isn't representing the people. He's not there to keep the peace. He's there to instigate and start trouble. He's a troublemaker. He should be barred from ever wearing a badge again. Again, Katie, thanks for your call. Is Mark in Florida still there? Mark, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Yes, I am, John. And your guest, we're getting to the point of my thinking of this is, if I walked up to that nurse with a gun on my side and said, give me that man's blood, and if she refused and I latched a hold of her and cuffed her and threw her in my car, what would the charges be against me? And those are the charges that should be against that cop. And that's exactly what he did. It's as though I did it.
Well, see, that's kidnapping. That is kidnapping, isn't it?
Kidnapping, armed robbery.
I look at it this way. I look at
assault,
it this way.
Battery.
Guys, I and Mark, I look at it this way. These are a bunch of revenuers out there. And doing this, this is in no way, shape, or form, in my estimation, is there for the public peace. He got a phone call. He shows up. Who made that phone call? Who the hell knows? But this thing isn't done because even the prosecuting attorney from that county out there in Salt Lake City is thinking about preferring charges against this guy. Now, do you think that this would have happened if half a billion people hadn't seen this video by now? Probably not. This would be another instance that it's swept under the rug. And again...
Well, let me add to it.
Yeah.
Let me add to it, please, John. Not only those things that would be charged against me if I did it, this guy had a badge and a gun and an office. So he's got misfeasance under color of law, malfeasance under color of law. He's got all kinds of things on top of the crime, as though I did it, under color of law, on him that the county and the city and the state should have on him right now. I drive a school bus. If I do anything wrong, there are so many charges that would go against me. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I know.
This guy with a gun, and they have done nothing to him, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, these again are isolated instances that, you know, I'm sure a lot of cops are thinking, you know, I wouldn't have done it that way, but, you know, hey, you know, I'm in my jurisdiction,
John,
in any state USA, and, you know, that's really not a big deal. There, it's a big deal.
John,
hold on a second. It's a big deal, Mark. Because a message needs to be sent. We're not anarchists. We don't want to see dead cops in the street any more than we want to see dead citizens from bad choices made by cops. You need to keep your weapons holstered a little bit more. You need to feel a little less under threat, you know, because this is what they keep telling them. I mean, how many dogs have been shot? How many human beings have been shot? Because all the officer has to do is offer the little weak excuse, well, I felt my life was being threatened. Well, then, you know what? Maybe you should go get another job, because there's no guarantees being a police officer in any town USA that from time to time you will not find yourself in a hazardous situation. But the difference is the experienced officer, the level-headed officer, will make the determination when it's time to unholster a weapon and start firing. I mean, it's getting to the point right now. I think somebody called in last Friday and was relaying a story to me. A woman had called in. She had just washed her car, didn't want to roll down the window with a little officer knocking there. She went to open up the door. This guy unholsters and points his gun at her. It's a woman, and it was a 10-year-old child in the front seat. Who in the hell do these people think that they are? I'm exactly. Sorry. I was ranting. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, internally, if I make a turn and I swing and knock over a mailbox and I don't report that, internally, I could lose my job for something as simple as that, a little simple mistake.
By the way, I know something. By the way, I know something about bus drivers in Florida and the rules and the regulations that the state brings down on you. If half the cops in America had to jump through half the hoops you bus drivers had to do, maybe we wouldn't have these guys out on the street as much. I don't know. Just
you got that right, John. Yeah. Right. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate your call. We skipped the break here. Let's keep rolling here. Oh,
hey, John, look, can I add something real quick?
You know, I like, Ron, how this guy comes on my show and he tries to run the damn thing.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, go ahead.
No, what I did notice in the video, if you did notice in the video, and Ron and I talked about this, that there was a rookie officer that actually saw that this was going down and this was the wrong direction to go, and he actually tried to defuse the situation. I noticed this rookie cop coming up and trying to talk to the investigator to say, hey, wait a minute, this is not right. You're doing this wrong. And, of course, we didn't get much attention with that. But there was somebody who did have some common sense in law enforcement that day, but he didn't have enough courage, I guess, to really intervene and stop the whole situation as he should have done. This officer was out of control.
And understand this. To this officer, it was no big deal. Obviously, he would not have taken that action against Nurse Warbles. But this rookie cop, if this would not have gotten the attention, if this would not have gotten the viral attention that it got, and the Salt Lake Tribune, and again, hats off to them for posting this online, this incident probably would have been swept under the rug. And dear officer, rookie, that stood up and said, hey, detective, knock this off, chances are he'd be fired. So, you know, there's this code of silence within the police that somehow, you know, this isn't for internal affairs. You know, if you're another cop standing alongside another cop and you witness a felony that he commits or egregiously breaking the law, breaking somebody's head or maybe killing them, that somehow if you step out of that blue line, well, then somehow that you're not faithful to your fellow officers and you're a no-goodnik. There is no self-policing within the ranks of the police. There's none. And when it gets past that point, what we have here is a bunch of people making excuses. How many times, ladies and gentlemen, and use your memory here, how many times were people outright killed by officers when it was, and I'm not saying kind of, sort of, I'm saying when it was absolutely not necessary. There have been cops that have tried to stop people, or they rolled up their window and claimed that they tried to drive off, and they pull out a gun, and they blow the driver's head off. Claiming that they were getting ready to drag me down the street, I was in fear for my life. Why didn't you just let go of the damn car? No, their solution is to pull out a weapon, blow the person's head off, shoot first, and all the questions can be asked later. We got a real problem because, and again, I got pissed off last Friday. I closed the show, I slapped the microphone aside, and I said, Mike, get me the hell out of here. I'm getting angry because this stuff is not slowing down. And us as the citizenry out here, the people that don't break the laws, or at least none that you're aware of, and you're probably breaking three federal laws even before your feet hit the floor after a night's sleep in your own bed. It is time for the citizenry to stand up and say, gentlemen, we need to calm down here. We need to reexamine what's been going on here. And I hate to say this, but Black Lives Matter, they had some issues, and I would agree with them, that with the new safety that the officers are preparing themselves for, it's more often than not, a cop will pull his gun, and chances are that weapon will be discharged. And I'm not making any excuses here for Black Lives Matter or the cops either. But we seem to have a sincere and earnest effort to try to get these guys to slow their roll. But it ain't happening. The police force, this is what I'm getting angry about, because we are witnessing the militarization of our police, and you're starting to see it. When they're in your face, they won't even follow the rules that are laid out, and they're doing whatever the hell they want to do. Threat, intimidation, taser, up to and including a bullet in your brain. Enough. Enough. Greg in Arkansas. Hello, Greg. Let me take your call before we go to the top of the hour.
Hi, gentlemen. You all stole my thunder while I was on hold, but there's a missing link here, and that is the errand boy was sent to the other county apparently to get a blood sample because of the chase that they were in, which they knew was incorrect, and the only chance they stood was to try to blame it on the truck driver who was hit in the whole thing.
There is only one problem with that. The video that the Salt Lake Tribune put out was actually from a dash cam of one of the cars in pursuit.
Correct, and they needed a blood sample from the truck driver to blame it on the truck driver for the whole accident. That's what they were really after, as far as I can see.
Well,
they were looking for an excuse to try to get themselves out from under the unlawful chase that they were involved in.
Well, and again, you know, the criteria for what is an unlawful chase is a matter of policy from PD to PD. There is no blanket, look, you're at this point in time endangering other citizens. I mean, Greg, you're driving down the highway. You're minding your own business, and you are run into by another individual that happens to be chased by cops. What was your role in this? You're just an innocent bystander. You're a victim of the circumstance that was created by the police. And again, let me point out, if they're a witness to a capital crime or a bank robbery, they have every right to try to stop and detain, hopefully arrest, cuff, and jail the individual, arrest them and jail them. But, you know, you may be right here, Greg. There might be more to this story. But since when does driving down a highway, getting burned to a crisp, finding yourself in a hospital and you wouldn't even know that you're there because you were unconscious, and then you've got Bully Boy coming in and pushing everybody around. I'm out of the realm of even trying to understand this anymore.
Well, actually, she had more guts than most of the men that were standing there because she was the only one standing up. And I wouldn't be surprised if they took her away and strip-searched her to humiliate her and all that kind of thing. And, you know, more power to her. And it also says something about stopping at county lines because these different department regulations that the police have to be under, they should back off when they cross the county line or whatever jurisdiction.
You're talking about the jurisdiction that, well, that used to be the case. Now they don't even need... They don't even need a reason to stop. I mean, probable cause? PC doesn't mean politically correct. PC means probable cause. All right, I got to take top of the hour break. Greg, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Sure, thanks, son.
All right. Bye. Steve Elkins is with me. Ron McDonald. No, this isn't Monday. This is Tuesday, and we are live. I'm John Stattmiller. This is the National Intel Report. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.